Now, every one of us here tonight knows that there's something wrong inside. We have a tendency within us that disturbs us. We long for victory over sin, sins of thought and word and deed. And the Bible reveals that we are born radically wrong. We are members of a human race that has turned its back upon God. There's something inside that makes it easier to go wrong than to go right. And some deep evil seems to sap the human race. There's a bias in the bowl that takes it off course. There's a gravity that pulls us down when we want to rise high in spiritual attainment. And the secret is that something within us has died. The spiritual part of our being that God gave us has died because of sin. This is the reason why we can neither see nor enter the kingdom of heaven unless there is a radical change. And here is a great revelation from Holy Scripture, and we also know it in our own experience, that we cannot make this radical change ourselves. That God says you must have, you must know, you must experience if you are ever to see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Why the cross? Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for you. He bore your sin, sir, in his body on the tree. He was the only man who ever went through hell on earth. And he did it for you, to cleanse you from the stain of sin, to deliver you from the power of sin, to clear you from the penalty of sin, so that there could be nothing between you and God. Christ Jesus bore your sin in his body on the tree. So, ladies and gentlemen, we come to this great conclusion tonight, that unless God is willing to do something about it, we are sunk, and there is no hope of us ever entering or seeing the kingdom of heaven. But here is the Christian gospel, ladies and gentlemen. Here is the good news, that God loves us. Because he loves us, he's willing, he's yearning to undertake this great change for us, if only we are willing. And because Christ has died and risen again, I have wonderful news for you here tonight. Hundreds of you here yearn to know what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Hundreds of you want to know the victory that God gives to those that belong to Christ. If you will repent, believe and confess, God will do the rest. He will come into your cleansed being that he now possesses, and he will live his life in you. He will give you eternal life, divine life. Right now you will enter the kingdom of heaven, and you will live in the kingdom of heaven whilst you're on earth. And when death comes, it won't be death. You'll be with Christ and you'll go into the glories of eternal heaven. That is what God will do for you tonight if you will repent and believe and confess it.
We'd like to welcome you and are glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. Wanted to let you know that we're looking at opening up our adult and youth Sunday school classes. And if your class would like to submit a plan that would be COVID safe, let us know. We're still holding off a few more weeks during the 9:15 hour because we don't want to have too many people congregating in small hallways and classrooms. But let us know where and when might work for your group, and we'll see if that fits with other classes' plans. We have some other volunteer opportunities for you. Because we're ramping worship back up, we could use people to help us register attendance and take temperatures. We are also beginning to live stream our services, so if you'd like to be trained how to help us do this, let us know about that as well. Finally, if you've got any warm socks or gloves or any other items you'd like to donate to Daily Bread, I'd be happy to help distribute them. And then we are working on our next project for our shut-ins, and it's a butterfly card that you can color and decorate. We're going to encourage you to pick those up beginning today and then bring them back to the church by March 21st when Lee Travis will cut them into their final product. But as I said, it is time for us to worship, and we are so grateful that you're here.
Some people think distant, just some words on a page. That you're nothing more than famous, had you down along the way. That I've seen you part the waters when no one else can pull me from the deep to who you are to be.
Affirmation of faith from Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark 8, 34 through 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was growing up, I felt like I was the only kid my age who watched the news. And that was actually my little secret. I wouldn't have shared that little tidbit with anybody. My friends already thought that I was a nerd. I didn't need to give them any more ammunition. But I remember being at a junior high party on the night that Richard Nixon resigned from the presidency. No one else but me and the girl's parents were paying any attention. And that was back in the day when you watched the news and everybody pretty much agreed that what you saw was reality. The thought never entered my mind that Walter Cronkite was biased or trying to convince me of something that wasn't really true. Do you remember those good old days? Not like that anymore, is it? I wonder what the news reports would say about Jesus if he appeared on the scene today. I have no doubt some commentators would call him a loser or dangerous or a communist or a fascist or ignorant or weirdo or judgmental or not judgmental enough. The spin doctors would have a field day with Jesus. Would his message and ministry survive the social media assault he would have had to go through? Well, I'm sure he would have figured out a way to get his message across, but my guess is that we would reject him just as they did 2,000 years ago. His message was and is too much for some people. And Jesus has a real PR nightmare with the symbol for his movement, the cross. And if you consider who the cross was reserved for, it was for the worst of the worst. And who wants to even think about a man hung with spikes through his hands and his feet? Maybe another symbol would have been better. The loaf might have been a good one. Jesus fed thousands with a few loaves and a few fish, and fish would have been great. Who would object to an image of a fish or a fisherman? Or how about a wine glass? That might appeal to the crowd today who have gotten into fine wines and craft beers. The reality is, it's unlikely those symbols would have gotten much attention. Those symbols are safe for the spiritually curious. Not a lot of risk there. But the cross. Talk about a symbol in need of an image consultant. It's almost as if the church went out of its way to take the most horrible image it could find and use that as its brand. And Jesus had a way of taking what others found offensive and making it holy. He did it with people all the time. Do you remember Jesus took the tax collector and the Roman soldier, the prostitute, the man filled with evil spirits, a foreign woman, the Samaritan, even a thief on the cross. And he turned them into examples of faith. Jesus made people holy. But how was he going to make the cross holy? Well, I've never been much into crucifixes with Jesus hanging, bloodied, and battered. But the crucifix is a powerful statement. And that imagery has always made me queasy. Besides just the visual of Jesus on the cross, perhaps my discomfort with crucifixes is that some people want to keep Jesus on the cross. Because that Jesus is so out of reach, I can hardly begin to even identify with him. And if I can't identify with him, do I have to really take his call to take up the cross seriously? I appreciate the beauty of the brass crosses in our sanctuary. I love the simplicity of the wooden crosses we have in some of our Sunday school classrooms. People wear crosses around their necks. And for some, though, the cross is just a fashion statement. For others, the cross is a burden to bear. People see all kinds of different things in the cross. One of the reasons I like following the church calendar is that so I don't fall into the trap of believing the cross is just one thing. Ash Wednesday was a stark reminder that the cross is about death, your death, my death. And let's never forget, it's about Jesus' death. But His death paved the way for life. And that's another image of the cross. On Easter Sunday, we have the living cross, a symbol that from death comes life. Well, I know that I've bored you with stories from the Virginia Creeper bike trail, but someone, or maybe more than one person, will often leave sticks on the trail in the shape of a cross. It happens way too often to be a coincidence. I appreciate those crosses because they can turn a remote part of my ride into a spiritual experience. My mind is transported to Jesus in the midst of all of my other thoughts just by seeing that cross made out of sticks. I hope the cross will always have an effect on my life. It makes me ask, will my life's concern be to hold on to status and power and security? Or will I take up the cross of Jesus to combat the sins of the world? Will I sacrifice myself for the sake of others? There are lots of times when I convince myself that I have no power to fight all the injustice and sin that I see. What can I do? But there are other times when I realize if I am willing to risk, I have not only my own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And I can be made bold by the cross, or I can allow it to intimidate me. Because the cross is a wonderfully horrifying image. The cross is horrifying for those who seek to hold their power here on earth. The cross is a vivid reminder that everything can be torn from us. But the cross is a beautiful reminder for those who are oppressed. The cross is beautiful for those whose spirits are broken. The cross is beautiful for those who feel forgotten. The cross tells those who are perishing that Jesus is on your side. I think one of the most frightening aspects of the cross is that I can't control it. Have you ever tried to wrap Jesus in a nice little package and then had Jesus render your plans as foolishness? Have you had Jesus defy your expectations? I have. And if Jesus can take a cross and redeem that, what can He do with all of the messes in your life? What can Jesus do with you if you are willing to empty yourself? Well, I know myself well enough to realize that I don't measure up to Jesus. But I've had experiences when I've been obedient and I've been blessed. I've picked up the phone at times and made calls and have people tell me, God sent you to me today. I've had experiences where I visited the hospital at just the right moment. There have been occasions when I've heard things come out of my mouth that I know were from God because I've never had that thought before in my life. Maybe you have relationships that are falling apart and you see no hope. Maybe you are unwilling to forgive someone. Maybe you've gotten into such a bitter argument that you feel that there is no hope for healing. Well, the wounds on Jesus' hands and feet shows us that no wound is too grievous for Jesus to heal. Not even yours. The author of a study book Asa and I are reading named Jill Duffield says she has always been relieved to hear that the disciples ran away when they saw Jesus on His way to the cross. And I can certainly identify with their fear and their betrayal. Can you also identify with how they came back? In spite of their failure, they came back and they emptied themselves for the sake of Christ. They had failures to come, but they kept coming back. So in grand ways and small, they kept emptying themselves for the cause of Christ. So maybe one day you will be called to pour out all of yourself in the name of Christ. But it's probably more likely that every day you will be given small opportunities to deny yourself, take up Jesus' cross, and follow Him. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." So it's through Jesus that your life can be saved. So will you give your life to Him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We'd like to share with you our prayer concerns and our celebrations this morning. Tim McKinnish's brother Charlie passed away this week. He lived in North Carolina. Bill Black, who was the chief of staff at the hospital, passed away on Tuesday. Tom and Bev Moon have both been sick. Gary Connery was in the hospital this week. Ben and Misty Graham Stapleton's parents have all had health issues. Mitch Robinson is continuing to receive care. Tiffany Pollock's sister, Sasa Ballard, has had surgery and other procedures in Nashville. Ronnie Malloy is recovering from a recent hospital stay. Also, her son-in-law, Jim Ball, is very sick and needs prayer, as well as his wife, Melissa, who is caring for him. Please be in prayer for a family in our church who is concerned about one of their number who is facing a recurrence of their cancer. And we are grateful that Lynn Leach is home from Houston and her treatments went well.
Well, friends, we wanted to lift up one other prayer concern. Darris and Irma Doyle's grandson, Ryan, was in an automobile accident. So let's remember him as well.
This morning for our prayer, I'm going to read a prayer from YouVersion, the Bible app, that was entitled A Prayer to Refocus. So let us pray. God, we want more of You. Too often we choose to pursue momentary things and push You aside. Please forgive us and change us. We don't want to live lives that aren't focused on You. As we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, help us to silence the noise in our lives. Show us what steps we need to take to refocus our hearts, minds, and wills on You alone. Search our hearts and know us. Clean out our lives. Point out anything that offends You and make us more like You. Show us the paths that lead to life and fill us with joy in Your presence. We love You and want to fix our eyes on You. God, we also lift up our prayer concerns to You this morning, those individuals mentioned here earlier, and also our own individual prayer concerns. We lay these at Your feet and pray Your will be done. All these things we pray in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There is the stay.
As we go out into the world this week, we are reminded to take up the cross of Christ. But one of the great things is we're not going to do that alone. We are going to be accompanied by His Holy Spirit. So go forth with grace, joy, and peace, and know that Christ goes with you. Amen.